Hey there, Sexology listeners. This episode is brought to you by Quince, your go-to for affordable luxury. I have to tell you about my latest find, the champagne silk dress from Quince. It's perfect for date nights, especially in the summer. It looks so expensive and feels like a dream, but you won't believe how affordable it is. Quince is all about high-quality fashion and home goods at a price that won't break the bank. How do they do it? The unique manufacturer-to-consumer model cuts out the middleman, bringing you premium products straight from the factory floor. With Quince, you're not only saving money, but also making a sustainable choice. Plus, they offer free shipping and a 365-day return policy, so you can shop with confidence. Check out their amazing selection at quince.com and grab free shipping plus 365 days at quince.com/sexology. Upgrade your wardrobe without the guilt. Thanks to Quince.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 388 of the Sexology podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali. We're diving into an intriguing essential topic of testosterone therapy today. Joining us is the remarkable Dr. Amy Perlman, a board-certified urologist with expertise in male sexual and hormonal health. Dr. Perlman is the co-founder of Prime Institute in Florida, where she offers comprehensive, innovative, and evidence-based care. During our conversation today, we're going to talk about the benefits of testosterone therapy. Dr. Perlman will share insight on how this therapy can enhance overall well-being and sexual health. Lastly, we're going to talk about lifestyle factors and their role in the effectiveness of testosterone therapy. Also, I've got something special for you. I made a free quiz to help you figure out your next steps when it comes to your performance concerns. I've heard from many of you who found it tough to talk to someone about this and are unsure if a therapist, a course, or some education is the way to go. Our quiz will point you in the right direction. Whether you need therapy, a doctor's advice, or just some good resource, it's like your personalized treatment plan. On the house, of course. Just remember, it's a friendly suggestion and it's not a replacement for professional help. But before we jump into all that, a quick shout out to our sponsor, FirmTech, for supporting this episode. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Sexology Podcast. I am so excited to welcome Dr. Amy Perlman. Dr. Perlman, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here today. Thank you for having me.
I am very excited. I meant to have a physician talk on the show about the testosterone therapy because I know that's a very important topic. First thing as a sex therapist and psychologist, I hear that whenever there is some sexual health issue for men, that's the first thing they think about. Maybe it's my testosterone. Maybe I need to get testosterone therapy, which it definitely has a place. But I think it's important for people to be well informed about that. Thank you so much for doing this conversation and being our guest. So tell us more about what are the benefits of testosterone therapy and who would be a candidate?
Yeah, I really love having this conversation because, as you mentioned, testosterone plays a critical role in the male body. And in fact, in your body and in my body, testosterone plays a critical role, as does estrogen. So I always explain that to my patients is testosterone and estrogen in every living being at every age is really important. Now, while testosterone is not always to blame, it's very difficult for someone to feel their best and have their best sex if their testosterone level is not at its optimal level. So a lot of the guys, I want to just kind of illustrate the typical man who comes into a clinic like mine. He's in his, let's say, 40s to 60s. He is a very hard worker. He's very successful at what he does, but he has like some questions in the back of his mind. And some of those questions are, do I feel more tired because I'm traveling, I'm working a lot, I have a family, I'm stressed? Is it due to age or is it due to low testosterone, right? And so he's got some fatigue. His erections aren't quite what they used to be. He's doing some exercise and he's doing some resistance training, but he doesn't see the results that he used to be able to get when he actually put in the work at the gym. And he's a little bit up in his weight. And before, he could lose weight pretty easily. Like if he ate healthy for a week or so, he would be able to drop a few pounds, and he's not able to do that anymore. And oftentimes his sex drive is a little bit lower. So when you think about all those different symptoms of sort of the classic guy who comes in with low T, actually only two of them are related to sexual health: low libido and erectile dysfunction. Every other symptom, and really there are at least 10 that come to mind, are just related to how that man feels when he wakes up in the morning and how he's going to tackle the day. Now, the nice thing when it comes to the low testosterone patient is we can easily test for it. So the guys that we're treating are the guys who come in with those symptoms, plus they have low levels on their blood work.
I love that description because I see a lot of that in my practice as well. And you know, one thing that I notice at times people do is like they test and they are within the range, but they are in a lower end of the range. So, and it's like they get preoccupied around that. Does that even mean anything if you're in a lower or mid or higher range when it comes to testosterone?
I look at those numbers and I look at the guidelines and I use them for what they're meant to be, which are to help guide me, but not to make my clinical decisions for me. So when I'm sitting in front of a patient, we acknowledge together that the kind of their 10 to 20 symptoms that they'd like to improve are probably related to 30 different factors in their life. 30 that we can name and probably 30 that we just haven't recognized are contributing. But what I ask myself during that visit is if he has a low or a low normal testosterone level and I treat it, can I help him? But in order to understand that question, I first have to define how I can hurt him. And that's going to differ depending on the person and kind of what his current life goals are, which we can really delve into. But I routinely treat people that are in the low normal range because at the end of the day, I am in the business of healthcare, right? And I ask myself, how can I help this person? And if I can't hurt him in the process, that's where I'm not a stickler for the number.
I love that. And again, I think it goes also to the discretion of the physician discretion, right? Like if you're reading on Reddit and kind of thinking and deciding, that's not what we're talking about. It's just like a joint decision with a healthcare provider who specializes in this. Sometimes people think about, okay, the higher testosterone level, it's better for penis owners, for men. Are there any side effects? It's like, I know that even people are getting it off the street. So what are some of the side effects of testosterone and injecting testosterone or using testosterone?
So in order for me to answer that question, I want to kind of define how a practice like mine might differ from what bodybuilders are using, let's say. And oftentimes we're actually using similar medications. At least some of them are similar, but the doses are drastically different. Okay. So people who are abusing testosterone are using up to 10 times the doses that I would ever use in clinical practice. But the potential side effects, and it also depends on the formulation. So let's actually, can we delve into the different formulations?
I would love that.
So testosterone was initially synthesized almost a century ago. And nearly 50 years ago, the year that the Sony Walkman came out, is when testosterone cypionate came out. Testosterone cypionate today is still the most commonly prescribed formulation for testosterone. And it's an injectable medication that many patients will inject themselves in the comfort of their home. Sometimes they'll come into clinic for those injections. So despite the fact that that medication came out nearly 50 years ago, it's still very commonly prescribed, which I think tells us that it's really stood the test of time. It's also very cost effective and people don't have to worry about daily dosing. So I have a lot of patients that, like, you know, they do their injection once a week and they don't have to worry about it for another week. Now, over the last several decades, there have been many other formulations that have hit the market. So I can't think of another medication where there are so many ways of giving it. You can do testosterone in the nose, in the cheek, under the tongue, patches and gels and short-acting injections and long-acting injections and pellets. And now there are three oral medications, pills that are FDA approved for the treatment of low testosterone. So there are so many ways of giving it. Each one has their pluses and minuses. In general, though, when we raise someone's testosterone, the big one we need to ask them is, are you interested in current or future fertility? Because when we take testosterone from the outside, the brain sees all that testosterone and says, oh, we're good. We can shut down production. And the brain stops sending signals to the testicles to produce testosterone. Now, I'm in Miami, so I ask this question of every single man I see, regardless of his age, because I have guys routinely in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are thinking, I might want to have another child. And so I can never assume based on age that someone is done having children. So the fertility issue is key. And the problem is that a lot of clinics out there, or if someone is just getting it, you know, outside of a prescribing provider, a lot of people are unaware of the fertility implications of being on testosterone.
I never even thought about it, right? Although I'm in the field that, you know, it's, if you're taking it long term, it can impact your own kind of like organic testosterone level. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. Exactly. It can shut down production. And even as early as 3 months after being on testosterone injections, the man may have no sperm in his ejaculate. Now, it's not a contraceptive, so people can still have children on testosterone. It was interesting. I recently gave a presentation to 60 men in a fraternity in South Florida. And I would say some of the most common questions they were asking was regarding testosterone. And there were several guys that raised their hand and said in front of the group, hey, I'm on this amount of testosterone. I do it this, you know, often. Can I still get someone pregnant? Will I have issues with fertility, right? And so for a lot of those guys, they're not interested right now in having a child, but they may not realize the implications that a few years from then, right, if they're still on testosterone, they might have real issues having children. They might require something like, you know, IVF, which the financial implications can be quite high for a lot of those folks.
And I would imagine, so I know that I had recently a client that he's younger, but he has this very rare condition. There's no sperm is ejaculate. And then they did microtests on him, still no sperm. Is that something that kind of like can people experience after kind of injecting testosterone, or it's not that drastic?
No, it can be that drastic where you can actually get rid of all the sperm in the ejaculate. So when I see guys who are interested in future fertility, they might want to have a child, but they're not actively trying to conceive. I will talk to them. We have a, you know, in-depth discussion about all of the different lifestyle factors that they can do to improve their hormones. And then we try to tease out exactly what symptoms are they hoping I can improve? Because sometimes there are other medications I can use to improve those symptoms that may not include testosterone and therefore impact their fertility. But if someone, let's say, wants to be on testosterone because the other therapies weren't working, then I have them bank sperm ahead of time. And these days, there are technologies and companies where they can ship the patient a kit. They can produce the sample in the comfort of their home. They ship it right back and they can freeze sperm before we start any treatment. That is a good safety measure. And it's something I routinely recommend. But then also, if I have someone on testosterone therapy that wants to preserve their future fertility, I'm also thinking about other medications like human chorionic gonadotropin or HCG, which can keep up some stimulation to the testicles to produce while they're on testosterone. But if you're looking for like the right answer is, you know, if anyone who's interested in future fertility, should they ever be on testosterone? A lot of people are going to say no, and I'm not making any exceptions. But I think there are exceptions, and that's where having that detailed and nuanced conversation with the patient is key.
I love that you bring awareness to this. I remember when I was younger, I was thinking about, oh, fertility is just like for men, it's just so easy. But now as a psychologist talking to many men, I would say like, I'm almost in the opposite direction. That whenever you can have an insurance, why not? Right? Because I think for banking sperm, it's relatively easy compared to freezing an egg. So right, that completely makes sense that what's what you recommend. Whenever I have
it's
people-
so much easier. It's so much easier. And it's non-invasive. And it offers peace of mind. And even if someone just wants to know, what are my semen parameters? That's reason enough to check a semen analysis. People want data and information.
And that can be very, very empowering, right? And then going through this, working with so many couples, I learned that maybe you can presenting perfectly, no issue with sexual health, but that could be, there could be a fertility issue for men. But going back to the conversation with testosterone, whenever I have clients, it's almost like I practice in LA, and it's almost opposite of what you're saying. They say, okay, we have low testosterone. Let me see what can I do with food and lifestyle. Is that something that's feasible? Like if people are kind of changing their diet, is it going to be drastic enough to change the numbers? And I know it depends, right, on the different factors, but what have you noticed as far as the trends?
So I have similar patients to you, right? I mean, I have the guys in Miami and they ask the same questions. You know, actually, I have two different guys that come in. The guys who come in and they want to be on testosterone, and the guys that say, I want to avoid all medications at all costs, and I want to know what I can do to improve my hormones and sexual function. So absolutely, the things that you describe, the lifestyle changes, that is the foundation. That is the foundation for improvement in every aspect of our bodies, including hormone health. So we're never going to be able to optimize someone's overall sense of well-being and hormones if we don't hit on the importance of exercise, the importance of eating, you know, good, healthy food, the importance of sleep and stress reduction. And those key factors right there are going to be optimal for good brain health, heart health, gut health, hormone health, and genital health. It's all the same recommendation. That's the good news, right? Now, the implementation of getting good sleep and all those other things, that's where the hard work comes in, right? But those factors are key. And when it goes to the nutrition, and you might ask, well, what is an optimal nutritional plan? Well, inflammation is bad in the body. It's bad in the body when it comes to any chronic condition, including hormonal health. And inflammation wreaks havoc on the hormonal pathway. So foods that are anti-inflammatory are good for us. So that includes fruits, vegetables, lean protein, whole grains, nuts and seeds.
And I think that can help with so many things, right? Like cardiovascular health. And I like that you're talking about it, looking at it at a holistic way. So whether we want to do testosterone treatment or just changing the diet, I hear that the cornerstone of good practices for people are just to focus on lifestyle no matter what. The other thing I hear a lot from my clients, there are supplements that help with testosterone levels. And a supplement always comes in all forms. Some are not kind of like that great and some have better kind of production. So what's your thoughts as far as like supplements that people can take?
Yeah, the supplement question is a little bit difficult just because it's an unregulated industry. And so even if one study showed that a certain supplement was helpful for, let's say, hormonal health, it doesn't mean that if a person took that sort of same product, but from a different company, you would have those same benefits. So in general, if someone, I recommend that people sort of define what symptoms they want to improve. So if they're going to take a supplement, if that supplement is helping them, it's probably okay, right? If they don't notice any improvement in their symptoms or they have side effects, they should stop the supplement, right? We don't want people taking unnecessary medications. Now, in terms of vitamin D is really important for sort of every aspect of the body, including hormone health. And even in sunny South Florida, where there is, you know, people are out and about all day long, people are incredibly vitamin D deficient. So it's important for people to get their vitamin D levels checked and to supplement with vitamin D or to eat foods high in vitamin D if that's an issue. But I recently wrote within the past couple of years, kind of like a review on, you know, supplements and things that people have tried for hormones. And there's not one thing in particular that's had a great study to support its use.
I agree with you. A few years ago, we had this natural medicine doctor who was doing these peer-reviewed journal articles. And he even was talking about that, yes, maybe we find in this lab that this supplement works, but if this kind of extraction works, but there's no guarantee that what you get from the store has the same dosage, the same origin, or even contain that product. So I think that's a challenge when it comes to medication and supplements that are not FDA approved. But I agree with you that there is going to be a kind of like consumer's experience, right? Kind of thinking about where you are with all of this and how does that sit with you?
And no amount of supplements will take the place of good nutrition, exercise, stress reduction, and sleep. It doesn't matter. I don't care if someone takes 20 supplements. They will never replace those four things.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And, you know, I never taken vitamins before. And I read somewhere, oh, well, you have to take this multivitamin every day. And I was like, oh my God, why I have like increased anxiety? It happened to like I had a vitamin toxicity, although I was taking one vitamin. So it's really important for people whenever it's possible, unless it's prescribed by a physician, to kind of like try to kind of get your nutrition in a holistic way, unless it's, as you said, like the vitamin D that your doctor is recommending. Going back to the testosterone therapy, as you said, there's just a number of different ways as far as a routes of administration. And I know that not all kind of like pathways are created equally. So what are some of the more effective ways that you see that people are administrating testosterone when it's prescribed to them?
Yeah. So I think it was helpful for me to kind of give that timeline because I use one of the oldest medications and then I use the newest medication to be FDA approved. And I want to explain to you, you know, and your listeners why I do that. You know, I like the testosterone CypionA because it's dosed once a week. It goes right into the body. I don't have to worry about, you know, absorption through the skin. And people can do it in the comfort of their home. And it's very well tolerated for most people. And it's been around for a long time and it's very cost effective. So people can get that medication for pretty low cost, even if their insurance doesn't cover it. It's a very cost effective way of getting it. And, you know, when I was in my first academic job and I was there for about 5 years, you know, when I started there, I was directing the men's health program and kind of running the hormone service line. But as a urologist, I was trained as a surgeon. So I'll give you a little bit of inside scoop. You know, when I was going through my 6 years of training, I wanted to be in the operating room with a scalpel in my hand. I didn't want to be in clinic talking with patients. Now in my practice, I love being in clinic and talking with patients, but not for most of my training. And a lot of us, it doesn't matter how wonderful our training is, if we never are in clinic with someone who has particular expertise in male hormones, we never really learn how to do it. And there's so much that we can learn from reading guidelines and reading a textbook, but it will never teach us as good as sitting in front of a patient and learning from the real patient experience. And even more so, not only treating them at that given time, but when we see them a month later or 3 months later, 6 months later, a year later, how are they doing? In what ways does that person say that he feels better? It's hard to get that type of long-term sort of outcomes from our patients when we're in training. So when I was at Iowa and I started out, I said, okay, I'm directing the men's health program. I need to learn as much about the clinical experience with patients in as quick a time period as possible. I don't want it to take me decades to learn this information. So I went where we're told not to go, which is Facebook.
I love that.
You know, I went on Facebook and I joined a closed testosterone replacement therapy support group. And I could read hundreds of posts in real time of what was working and what was not working for patients all around the world. And I felt like they were, without them personally telling me what was working and not working, they were telling me what was working and not working. And so when I, you know, really the art of what we do in medicine is I combine what the guidelines say, what the research shows, what my patients tell me works, and in my own clinical experience, what I've seen. And so what I learned from reading those posts is that a lot of people were much more satisfied with the injections. And I spoke to some of my colleagues too, and they had most of their patients on injections too. So that's what I prescribed a lot in the first several years of my career. But to get back to some of those side effects that, you know, we had kind of alluded to previously. So one, testosterone causes infertility. It can also make the blood thick and raise hematocrit levels. And so that can be an issue, especially for men who are on injections. Injection therapy has the highest risk of causing polycythemia. Now, some testosterone also gets converted to estrogen by an enzyme called aromatase. And some people are just more prone to converting their testosterone to estrogen than others. And when people have high estrogen levels on testosterone, they might have breast or nipple tenderness or swelling, retention of fluid. They might have mood changes, irritability, changes in, you know, their sexual health. I had one guy come in, his estrogen was high, and he said, I'm watching a movie. I never cry during movies. And I was just bawling during this movie. And I knew I drove his estrogen up. So I knew I needed to do something about that. So while testosterone injections are really effective therapy, they do come with some of those higher risk of those side effects. Now, I use the newest formulation, which is called Kysotrex. It's a pill and it's taken twice a day. And I like that one because it's the safest thing we have on the market. And I love options that are safe. So what I do in my current practice now, because whenever someone comes in with an issue, we should probably start with the safest option. So most of my patients, I'm starting them on the oral, seeing how they do, and then determining whether or not they want to stay on that or switch to another formulation, depending on what kind of like how averse they are to risk.
I love that. And I think it feels more comfortable for majority of people, kind of like starting from lifestyle and then medication and see what comes out of that. But to me, the key point is medical supervision. As you can see, because there's just so many things that people are doing on their own. That's not regulated. That's not the right dose or right fit for them. That's what I hear. Like maybe injection is a perfect fit for someone, but maybe medication is another option. So many people who are listening to this show, who are coming to my practice, they are more concerned about sexual health issues, like erectile dysfunction. So how does testosterone interact with erectile functioning?
Yeah. So testosterone is not necessarily a primary treatment for something like erectile dysfunction, but it's very difficult to have really good erections if someone has low testosterone. So anyone who comes to see me with sexual function concerns, if they haven't had their testosterone checked recently, we are absolutely checking their testosterone level. In fact, our most recent iteration of the American Urological Association guidelines for erectile dysfunction recommends that people also have their testosterone checked in those circumstances. And what I see in my own patients and what research suggests is that if someone has low testosterone and ED, they will respond better to less invasive ED treatments if we optimize their hormones. So a classic example is someone who comes in who, let's say, was taking tadalafil or sildenafil. So those are the generics for Viagra and Cialis. And let's say those medications used to work really well, but are no longer doing the trick. If I check his testosterone and it's low and I optimize his hormones, he'll be more likely to respond to those pill options and less likely to have to move on to more invasive ED therapies. And a lot of those guys, they really like the pill medications for ED. So my goal is, how do I optimize it? How do I get those medications to work again? And oftentimes it's by optimizing their hormones.
I love that. And how do you kind of help people to negotiate and navigate? Is this a medical issue or psychological issue? Do you work with sex therapists? Do you refer to sex therapists? Tell us more about that. Because majority of people, when they think male sexual health, they think only medical path.
Mm-hmm. So I think of, you know, the psychology of sexual function as like a brain health, you know, sort of issue. And really think of it as like one total system. I try not to separate the two. But certainly performance anxiety can impact someone. But I treat oftentimes performance anxiety from like a physical component. So I want to give you an example. If I have a young man who comes in who, let's say, is 25, and he had a scenario that for whatever reason, he was unable to perform in the bedroom. And now he cannot get out of that rabbit hole of, should I even hold this person's hand? Should I ask them out on a date? I don't know if I can perform. Like in that scenario, when I know his body is functioning fine, he just has a performance issue, I'm like, I need to help this guy have a really good erection to get out of his head. I can't just tell him to get out of his head, right? So oftentimes in those scenarios, I know it's a performance issue, but I'm giving that person something like Cialis to help him get out of his head. Now, when I have these conversations with my patients, they oftentimes take an hour and a half, if not more, right? I'm like, hey, Bill, do you have anywhere to be? Because I got about 45 minutes more of things to talk to you about, because we cannot treat these issues in isolation, right? I cannot discuss optimizing hormones without having a sleep apnea discussion, you know, or a stress reduction, you know, a conversation or a fertility discussion. I can't talk about ED without talking about hormones. So everything is related there. But my 17-page packet goes through the first page, has all the things they can do in terms of their lifestyle to optimize. And I tell them, I acknowledge, I know you already know this information. I know intuitively you already know it, but I want to connect for you why it matters. You called my office. You showed up to this visit. Clearly, sexual function is important. So let's talk about what you can start doing today to improve your nutrition. Here are some recommendations. They all leave my office with a swag bag of healthy nutritious snacks to make that next better decision, right? But on the last page of that document are other resources that I routinely recommend: pelvic floor physical therapists, sex therapists, and intimacy specialists. Because even if they're not going to go to that person right away, I want them to know when they might be helpful and who to call if they have an issue. It's not enough for me to say, call a sex therapist, or learn better technique. I have to give them the starting point. Call this person for this reason at this point in time. Go online, look at these free resources, see what you think. That's been really helpful.
I love that. Like, I think the fact that you're taking the time to curating this packets, information, guiding people, I think it's really, really valuable. And it's contrary to many experience of colleagues that are saying that they kind of like they don't have time, so which kind of makes sense that they are also, people are not willing to talk about it. But I think the more space you give people, the more productive conversation you have around these topics. Anything else that you think would be helpful for enhancing testosterone therapy that we haven't addressed today?
So the big things, you know, weight certainly plays a role, and we had discussed that. And while all these lifestyle factors that we discussed can be helpful, they're not always going to do the trick, right? And someone's testosterone levels may get a little bit better, but if they don't actually improve that person's symptoms at the end of the day, then we're not really treating him the way that we should, right? So obviously, I talk about all these lifestyle factors, but my practice has drastically changed from where I began, because when I started, if a guy came in and he was overweight, I would talk to him about all these lifestyle factors. And I would say, if you lose weight, your testosterone will go up and we won't need to put you on testosterone treatment. But that guy who's coming in, he's tired. He's been going to the gym and he's not seeing results. And that's really frustrating for him. So I don't think I was actually setting that person up for success. So now what I do is I offer them. I say, look, we can try these things and I can start you on testosterone from the get-go and we can see how you do. And a lot of my patients actually prefer, they say, look, I've been trying, it's not working, I need some help. And I put them on testosterone. And sometimes all the testosterone does is a guy starts it and he has a little bit more energy when he gets home from work at 5 p.m. And because he has a little bit more energy, he's going to go to the gym at 6 p.m. And because he's going to the gym at 6 p.m., he doesn't eat crap when he gets home at 5 p.m. And then he feels better after he works out. He has a better relationship with his spouse and he's having better sex. So I think of it, if you were to take apart a watch and you look at all those different gears, all I have to do with any of the conditions that I treat, including testosterone, I just have to move that first gear. And then the next one will move. And then the next one will move, right? Our patients are as simple or as complex as we allow them to be. And ultimately, they're very complex people, but we don't have to fix everything all at once.
I really agree with you on the recommendation of not lecturing people in a way, right? Because I come from a eating disorder world that's what I did my postdoc around. And sometimes people were in a bigger body. That's all they hear. Only if you lose weight, this is going to go away. If you only lose weight, this is going to change. But in reality, these are the things that people heard for years and they've tried. So I like that you're giving them different way of tackling their goals without kind of like shaming them or telling them something that they already know. So I bet that there are so many of our listeners that want to learn more about you, your practice, all the great resources that you have out there. Dr. Perlman, where people can go if they want to learn more about your practice?
Thank you for asking. So my practice is called Prime Institute. I'm located in Coral Gables, Florida, and my website is primeinstitute.us, and that has a lot of my service offerings on that website. I also have a lot of videos on a lot of the topics that we discussed today, as well as some others, including the use of sexual enhancement products and different, you know, penile rehabilitation devices on my YouTube channel. So you can simply just search my name on YouTube, Amy Perlman. And my Instagram is Amy Perlman MD, and my X handle is Amy Perlman 1. So my goal, you know, most people will not actually see me in clinic, but I think the information and expertise that I have is relevant to so many people. And so ultimately, my mission is to educate as many people as possible so that when they go in to see whichever healthcare provider they're going to see, they have some really good baseline knowledge so that when they get that appointment, they can ask some really good questions. It's very unhelpful for people to go into a visit and not have any baseline knowledge, right? I worry about my patients where at the end of the visit, I say, Bob, what questions do you have? If Bob says, I don't have any questions, Bob, I did not explain to Bob in a way that he could understand what I was saying, right? Questions are really good. And so, so much of the content I put online is giving people some of those questions that they might ask their healthcare provider.
Amazing. So I'll make sure we create a link to all the information you shared with us today. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing to increasing awareness and giving all of this great content in your channel. And I'm so grateful for our conversation today, and hopefully we'll have you back on our show in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the time.
That's a wrap on our chat with Dr. Amy Perlman about testosterone therapy. We dove into the risks, perks, and side effects and how it fits in with treatment for erectile dysfunction. Remember, knowing the ins and outs of testosterone therapy is key to making smart choices about your health. If you're thinking about testosterone therapy, it's crucial to look at your lifestyle and habits. Dr. Perlman stressed that living healthy can really boost the therapy's impact. Big thanks to our sponsor, FirmTech. Their tech ring amps up sexual performance and health tracking with super user-friendly design. It tracks firmness, duration, and more when things get steamy. Also, check out the FirmTech Max PR, a non-tech ring that ups pleasure and stamina. Use the code SEXOLOGY for an exclusive 10%. Go to myfirm.com and use our promo code to get 10% off. And hey, don't miss our free quiz to figure out your next steps on your performance journey. Whether you need a therapist, doc, or resource info, our quiz has your back. It's like your own treatment plan. Just a heads up, it's a general suggestion and not a replacement for professional help. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us. Till next time, stay safe, stay clued in, and keep rocking your sexual health.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.